It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on.
Nothing like flying by the seat of your pants. you can get your headset on. Yes, please, please. We had a little mix-up in guest times today, the time slots. And you know what? I'm one that when I mess up big, Marcia. And no, really, I don't do little mess-ups. I told Steve that when I came to work here full-time. I don't do little mess-ups, but I do own the big mess-ups.
Well, if you're doing it, do it upright.
So you and Nancy Campbell, we're going to be talking about workforce development and a pre-apprenticeship program. You were supposed to be at 11:30, and then my first guest is Carolyn Strecker, and she's running for Legislative District 30. I sent her a confirmation last night that said she was supposed to be at 11, and I sent her a confirmation that said 11:30. So I have a feeling that's what she's aiming for right now. So it was easier to call Nancy and say, 911. So anyway, Nancy Campbell is on her way. Councilwoman Nancy Campbell, of course. Mm-hmm. And Marcia Becker is here. Welcome to Speak Out. It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2026. Hard to believe, but the first 4 months of the year are almost gone.
Oh, it's going by quickly.
What the
rather
heck?
Rather quick, yes. Yes.
It's going to be graduation next month.
Before you know it, we have almost started the month of May. We call it the month of May in education because there's just so many events going on and all good things to celebrate our upcoming graduation and
Isn't it the month of May anyway?
Almost. Friday, right?
You mean because it's a partial month? You call it a whole month?
Or? We just call it the month of May because it's...
Oh, the month of maybe. No?
It seems like it is... I guess that I get what you're saying. It just seems like it's a very long month. Because there's just so many things going on.
It is for me because of the holiday at the end of the month. There's a lot more to generate as far as programming goes when people are not going to be here. You still have to generate, you know, schedules and that sort of thing. So anyway, waiting for Nancy. And is this through the wave that the Western Arizona Vocational Education?
So Nancy and her Workforce Development Board that consisted of WAVE was part of it, Amy West. We also have Mojave College was a part of it, Arizona at Work. A lot of different entities kind of came to the table when this conversation first started happening. And I would say they started it in early or late July last year, and then I was brought in early August as a potential partner along with WAVE Lake Havasu High School, more specifically, to see what we could do to try to offer more work-based learning opportunities for our students. I always brag about the capacity of students that we have, the amazing programs that we have going on in career and technical education. Mm-hmm. But we know that, you know, to really, we want to keep them here in Lake Havasu. We want to keep this talent. We know that a lot of our workforce are baby boomers and they're going to be moving on. So we want to make sure that, you know, that we are just developing this next generation and that they're specifically going to be able to meet the needs of Lake Havasu, you know, in our construction group. And so really Nancy, and it's always been a vision of hers, and as soon as she gets here, I know she's gonna.
I'm on the cusp, by the way, you know, 1964.
Ah.
So right there, I could be just, what is it, Gen X? Is that the other
Gen
one?
Gen X, I think, is the next one.
Millennials before that.
Yep.
So anyway, I couldn't help but think, are you going for those students that might not have college in mind? Is that what we're talking about?
I mean, it's really students that are in any one of our CTE programs. Nancy has done the construction, more of that sector, the work of it. And
sure.
It's probably what our pilot year is going to consist of. But we want to get them experience, hands-on experience in our town with local businesses, have the businesses be the mentors for our students because they know the needs of their business.
I'll use a great example. It's like what we've done with Marissa.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
She came to us as a paid intern and has turned into not a full-time production assistant, but probably as full-time as it can go right now.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we want to show students that there are opportunities here mm-hmm. for them. And then we know that local business and industry wants to help mentor. They're, you know, we have a great group of business and industry folks that are ready to jump in, help mentor, teach them the skills of their trade, and hopefully keep them around here, around Lake Havasu.
So where did all this start? Was this the brainchild of you and Nancy, or of course Nancy, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get. Well,
she's pretty busy.
She is a busy person, but she said that she has had this vision for probably the last 30 years. You know, really just to get business and industry a pipeline. You know, and so I was brought in to, you know, I have the pipeline with high school students and on our career and technical education. So we really have, since that early August, really been working together. Nancy is a huge driving force with the community and getting the construction folks, everybody on board, getting them to the meetings. And then I've just worked with our school board to get these classes approved. So for every single CTE program, there is an approved, we call it an internship, but it's really a pre-apprenticeship program that will align where students can earn a credit and also earn money while they are going to this class. And it'll be built right into their high school schedule.
So we also talked to Mr. Becker about this topic. You got a big pat on the back, by the way. I hope he didn't have to sleep on the couch or anything that night. But anyway, what CTE programs are in place right now?
We have 17.
What?
So there is something for
everybody. I remember
when
it was just fire, right?
So we've got fire. We added EMS this year with... We have that in conjunction with Lake Havasu City. We have a partnership with them. We have fashion design. We have early childhood. So we run a full preschool with two sessions, an AM and a PM session on our campus, mm-hmm. Where our students develop those lessons and really plan for the preschool and do all that work-based learning there. We have education professions. We have software and app design, where students learn how to build games, build programming. There's all kinds of things that they learn in there. We have a business class. They run our student store. We have law and public safety. We have, oh goodness, you name
the
it.
The one that stands out that you mentioned out of all those is fashion.
Yeah.
I find it a little strange, actually. How do you make bridge that? I mean, what do you mean by fashion? Like clothing sales?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Because
thank you. I'm thinking of making clothes. Are you thinking of selling or making or both?
So we have an amazing teacher, and I'll often say it. It's a lot about the people that we have in place that really that's their strength and their passion, and they care about kids. So our fashion teacher does their work-based learning with Grace Arts. So they design the costumes. Well, of course, in the intro class, they're going to learn the history of fashion and the basics of, you know, how to sew and conceptual ideas.
If they don't know already. But don't you have to be a pretty good artist, too, to present your idea?
Some students really have skill sets with the design aspect of it, and some have, you know, better hands-on skills with the design or, you know, creating the the elements. But
there's a lot of that in cosplay, too, from what I understand.
Well, I'm not too familiar with that.
I am, because my production assistant does that.
Okay.
She's pretty visible on TikTok, from what I understand. I'm not
very
on
cool.
TikTok, but I understand she does a lot of that. So.
Yeah, and another aspect are the connections, really, that she's built. She works with our high school stagecraft production group, so they will help design the costumes and the sets for our local high school groups. So, it really is about the people that you have, and she does a great job making those connections.
Well, Nancy Campbell is here, Councilwoman Nancy Campbell, in a different capacity. We're talking about workforce development and the pre-apprenticeship program that is being developed with the high school district, right? I mean, the Lake Havasu Unified School District.
Yes, there's so many partners involved.
Where did this come from?
Well, it came from, I'm going to say, my brain, there's a lot of things that come out
of
its brain.
You're good.
You know that, right?
Anyhow. You're busy.
Yes.
You're very busy.
Well, we were in a governance meeting, myself, Michael Smith from Arizona at Work, and they were really asking us, how are we going to get apprenticeship programs into rural Arizona? And we have the Great Wave program that we started, and you get to leave school and learn how to cook and hospitality, and it's been so great.
But Wave had a head start when I was doing Speak Out in 07, 08, mm-hmm. that's about when Wave came onto the scene.
Right.
Right?
But the visual on that was perfect, because the only difference with what we could do with contractors and what Wave was doing mm-hmm. was the time frame.
Okay.
No contractor is going to want to start apprenticeshipping or mentoring a child at 1 in the afternoon or 11 in the afternoon. Our industry is up at the crack of dawn, as you know. We jump out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. It's our lifestyle. We love it. And we hit, we're at work by 5:30, 6 o'clock. So when I had mentioned this in a governance meeting, they all went, brilliant. Kids can get up early. They can get to mm-hmm. a job sooner.
Right.
And then that's how this all came to be. So then from there, how does something that I think of in my head, how do you create that?
Uh-huh.
That's always the difficult part. And so at that point,
going from concept to actually doing
it. Yeah, it's like, actually, I say it felt like almost starting a whole new business. Mm-hmm. But fortunate for me, I had Arizona at Work, and I got to meet Marcia through the CTE program. All the educational pieces fell into place. They already had a prototype in place. So literally, how do we now get contractors on board? That was difficult to start, because nobody wants to do something that they don't know what's going to happen to them or how is it going to look. So that's how it started.
I don't know if you heard Marcia and I's conversation on the radio or not, but I asked her, are we asking kids to choose between work and college? Or how does all that fit in? Because it seems like the stress of the past years, you stressed college to kids. Everyone's got to go to college. Everyone's got to go to college. Now it's workforce development, but I don't see the education part in there. Or is it in there?
Oh, it's absolutely in there.
Okay.
And the reason why it's in there, this is a life skill issue. I mean, for instance, I'll use my industry, which is we're excited about. Any child that gets to spend 6 weeks learning about aggregate and mining, then learn 6 weeks on how to manufacture. How does that aggregate turn into concrete? And the next 6 weeks, they get to be out in the field finishing the concrete.
Okay.
Where they take that can be educational, can go to engineering, to architectural, to design, to creativity. Then that same child in their senior year gets to jump over to learn how to do air conditioning in 6 weeks, plumbing in 6 weeks, and electrical in 6 weeks. These are life skills our children are missing.
Right. You know where they get to start on HVAC, right?
Right.
The rough part.
Oh, yeah.
when the building's being framed.
Right. That's correct.
Right.
And so now this is so valuable to our children. This is something I cannot see. I can only imagine the growth of these children and the opportunities.
She says children. I say students are young adults, right, Marcia? I mean, they are. They're you know, grown up before our eyes.
Yep, they are on that verge of becoming young adults and learning all of those skills that they're going to get from, you know, their mentors that are helping them through these programs.
What's been the participation, or what's been the interest, I should say, in the construction community, for example, or other other industries in this town? And are we talking Mojave County wide?
Well, this is a pilot program. Okay, and I always tell people it feels like a franchise, per se, that we're picking up an idea and a concept, and once the handbooks are built and the insurance liability issues are all resolved and the higher level of apprenticeship working together, the state, now we will have a concept and we can franchise it. That's you can tell I'm a business person. This is all
I
do.
Yeah, of course.
But the excitement, all you have to do is go back and look at the first annual Real Sandbox. I have never seen young contractors in our community so excited.
What's the Real Sandbox?
It was down at back in
Sarah Park in January.
At Sarah Park in January. And it was a local contractor, Doug Main, who said, I want kids to have real feel and taste what it's like to be in a tractor in the sandboxes.
Right.
And I think they thought that they were only going to have 500 people sign up. They ended up getting like 750 kids.
Outstanding.
The kids had a blast. We're going to do it annually. It's over at the rodeo grounds. Mm-hmm. But the excitement was not just the children. It was the actual contractors mentoring these children. They were, I don't know who was having
who
more
got
fun.
More. Yeah, I was going to say, who got more out of it?
They all had backpacks with sand toys and hard hats. And that was under great collaboration, again, with the schools and Arizona at Work and a local contractor's vision where he had big companies donating and coming into Havasu. And these kids got to really feel what it's like to be behind that big equipment that you only get to see on TV.
So this job here was my first experience with an intern. Of course, Marissa.
Right.
Signed directly to me. I said, Steve, what's she doing here? She's going to be your intern. I'm like, my what? Do you get that reaction? Like, well, what am I supposed to do with an intern? Because people are so used to doing things their way and without somebody else helping them, you know? Has this been a hard sell for businesses? Because they're paid interns, I would take it.
Yes, they are paid interns. Right. And that's what I'm doing here today and starting today is I am pleading to contractors, corporations to come talk to myself and Marsha or Sarah over or Michael Smith at Arizona at Work, because my feeling is this, that mentor will mentor these kids, and they will get paid. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is all the donations are going to Arizona at Work. They're going to facilitate all the financial portion of it and get the paychecks back to the kids,
okay,
which is awesome. But in the end, whoever donates to them and Memo's Building the Future. And so in the meantime, all that donation, you got to appreciate the fact that we have local contractors that are actually going to educate and mentor those kids. Mm-hmm. They'll pay for it. But realistically, we want to reward them and say, we got that part for the couple hours a day. It's like how many?
Yeah, so it's going to be 2 hours a day, I believe, for a lot of the locals, 6:30 to 8:30. We've adjusted the student schedule, or we will adjust the student schedule that qualify for it. A lot of student interest in it right now. And they will go like on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then do some online work on Thursday. So they'll get about 7 hours a week. Another great part for the businesses is that because they are interning a student, and Arizona at Work is paying the student doesn't actually become their employee. So they can donate the salary to Arizona at Work, or Arizona at Work can accept donations from somewhere else. And, you know, that doesn't become necessarily their employee. If they want to, you know, employ the student after the internship, they're more than welcome.
Yeah, because I would think there's taxes involved in that sort of thing, right?
Yes. And so what we're going to end up doing as soon as the student decides that they want to be in whatever category they pick, let's say electric, air conditioning or plumbing.
Okay.
In this case, it's air control. So they will go and apply with air control, fill out all the information and the documentation that they need to be an employee, even though they are an employee, they have to go through all the steps needed by that employer. But in the meantime, Arizona Work will pay that portion of it. But that does not mean that they aren't an employee of they're just under apprenticeship. So if that employer off the hours wants to hire them in the afternoons or on the weekends, because a lot of those works are emergency works, and
right.
if you could bring your intern along with you to help with these projects, they're just expanding. But the exciting part is the state apprenticeship program is talking about doing an online course that if those kids stay in that mentorship, after they graduate, they can go online and still be mentored by those individual contractors and get their time on and get their journeyman's license and expand if they don't want to go to Phoenix or Vegas anymore.
Because there's certifications involved in that sort of thing too, right?
Right. Yeah. And our contractors are stepping up to the plate, and I am so proud of them.
I'm not playing you off right now. We're just going to our first break of the hour. And I figured you like Fleetwood Mac, right?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Everybody
I was listening
loves
to Fleetwood Mac this morning at home, and just thought I'd bring it to the show too. Still waiting for the arrival of Caroline Strecker. She's a candidate for Legislative District 30 state rep, and who knows, you guys might get the full hour.
We could talk the full hour.
There is so much to talk about.
I already thank Marcia for coming in early. That was all my mess up, so I own it. I told Steve when I started working for him, when I mess up big. There's no little ones.
But you admit it. You're one of the very few that admit it.
Well, I own it.
You own it. I love that.
You have to own it.
I love that.
You have to own it. All right. So, yeah, we just got them flipped. So, and I understand she is here. So we'll come back and we'll talk for about another 5-6 minutes.
Okay.
And, it's all about workforce development and the pre-apprenticeship program. We're talking to Nancy Campbell and Marcia Becker. And, we would have had Michael Smith on. He's a great guest, by the way.
Yes.
That would have required an hour to have Michael on.
He's in a construction roundtable right now. So he's there, I'm here.
Michael could talk.
Yeah.
But it's a nomenclature type of discussion. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. It's that county speak. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Give us a call. 928-854-5687. We'll be back on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by City Maytag. Of course, we're the home of the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning. And by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. Well, I'm hearing a lot of businesses in there that could probably partner up with you guys.
Oh, we'd love to have them.
Especially A&B Propane.
Oh,
and
Ricky, the Hobdays are already on board.
Oh, they are?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course they are.
What are they not involved in, really?
He was involved in the general plan, too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, very good.
Timeline. What are we looking at as far as you've used a great expression off the air about building a plane.
We are flying a plane and building it as we go. We've been working through.
Trying to picture where the engines are.
Yeah,
you've been working with me. This is my life every day.
It has been a great experience so far. You know, we've done a lot of back work. We've had the contractors get their fingerprints done, have site inspections, and you know, work with Arizona at Work on that end. They've also worked with myself to build out task lists for the students to just, you know, goals for them to meet, what they want to teach them, what they want to instill with the students as far as, you know, as work-based learning, as far as, like, being able to come to work on time and all of those soft skills, they call them. We will start the class at the beginning of August or the beginning of the school year, end of July. It will run for 18 weeks. And like Nancy mentioned earlier, some of the companies, there'll be 6-week rotations in HVAC, 6 weeks in electrical, and so on. But it'll be a full 18 weeks that student will be involved with the different companies.
This is like on-hands networking. You know it?
Yes.
I mean, you're going to make a lot of permanent associations that are like, the kid can say, well, I worked for that company.
Yes.
And then they'll go back and apply and say, yeah, he was a good little employee.
And you know what is exciting is my nephew, Andy Campbell's son, Dagan, has just got back from mechanic school,
uh-huh.
heavy diesel mechanic school, where
wow.
he had to go to Wyoming to do this. And he is excited that he's going to come in the second 18 weeks to learn, teach diesel mechanic to another high school
awesome.
Student.
Wow.
But what's even more exciting is the Lake Havasu City's maintenance gentleman. I can't remember his name right now. I'm sorry. But he also is going to be teaching, taking an intern.
From the motor pool?
All the maintenance of all the vehicles.
Sure.
And so he will also have a student. And what's really important is getting to see different management skills.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from what does it look like to work in a city government municipality versus a private sector. We have two welding companies, two different personalities completely. So one's going to be more residential and the one's going to be more industrial.
So real quick, we only have a couple minutes
because
I want to get Caroline in here. How do students sign up? How do businesses sign up?
I'm going to let Marcia
students
take
is
good
students
question.
Can sign up
okay.
through the Career Center or through myself at the high school. We already have a pretty good list of students that are interested in it, but as more come in, we'll put them on the list. We'll probably take our seniors first, depending on how many we can actually get placed.
What's pretty good? 50? 100?
28 students.
28?
Yes. So, which you, I find
you
pretty.
You just started building this
we
place.
We just started building it. So our construction teacher, cabinet making teacher, has done a really good job of helping just get us some of those students
sure,
that would
sure.
be a good fit for the businesses.
And then the businesses themselves?
The businesses themselves can also reach out to myself, Nancy, 928-486-5727. Again, this is a pilot program for us. We have a lot of learning to do. And Arizona at Work is another great direction. And if you're a corporate sponsor out there that believes in what we're doing, please reach out to Michael Smith or Sarah at Arizona at Work. Any donations, just make sure you put the memo, Building the Future. And when that happens, that money will go directly to this contractors program that we plan on growing over the next several years.
I actually heard that number, 486-5727.
Correct.
Dude, it was fast.
Yes.
But I caught it.
Yeah, good job. And again, you can always reach out to the high school,
yes.
Marcia.
Marcia Becker.
Marcia Becker. You can also reach out to Arizona at Work. But I will give you any direction to where you need to go. And we are already taking lists of contractors that may want to participate in the next couple of semesters.
Yes.
Awesome. We got to get you back on toward, July, August. That's when you guys ramp up.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to bring a student in here
to
hear how their experience.
Or two. We'll make it a whole hour.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool.
Well, thank you guys for interning as well. We appreciate you. And thank you, Marcia, for all your hard work and getting these kids back to work. I love that.
You're like, I can't match the energy right now. I usually have the most energy in the room, and it's not happening right now because Nancy stole it all.
All right. We got things to do,
I get it. Well, thanks so much, ladies. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. We're going to have Caroline Strecker in the room, candidate for Legislative District 30, State Representative. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. And you can call as well, 928-854-5687, or text 928-727-5566. We'll be right back. Little Lindsey Buckingham. I love it when he sings lead. Anyway, Caroline Strecker's here. And I'm making first impressions and all, and she's doing the same. So we've never met. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Speak Out, brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College. Also by Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. Don't forget to buy local, or, of course, it's buy local. And don't forget our archives are up at kntrtalk.com. I think there's a business card in here somewhere that's got the web address on it. on the back. And, yeah, I'll find one for you. And you can listen. It's usually posted about 12:15.
Okay.
So, right after the show. So tell me about Caroline Strecker. What led you to run for Legislative District 30 representative?
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Paul. Of course, shout out to two of my employers that you just mentioned. So WARMC and then Mojave College. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tell me how that works. And you work for both of them?
I worked for WARMC. I still work at Mojave College. And then I just also wanted to thank you because you're probably one of the first and very few people who actually said my first and last name correctly. So appreciate that.
What, Sweet Caroline? That's how I know it.
Yes, yes. But you'd be really surprised. I get a lot of Carolyns. I get a lot of Striker, or, you know, even Streaker just make
what?
It laughable.
Well, know, you should hear how LaVoie gets butchered, you know?
LaVoie, okay.
LaVoie,
the
OIE and all that. So how did you come to the decision to run?
Yeah, so I first got introduced to politics. There was way back when the GOP was looking for somebody to be like a photographer. And luckily, Jeannie, she was the GOP chairwoman at the time. And I just volunteered and I started going to the picnics and then got involved with Arizona Young Republicans. And then eventually I was approached by Supervisor Gould, who asked me if I wanted to be appointed to the Public Lands and Recreation Committee. And going from there, I then moved, which I'm still now a part of, but I'm on the Mojave County Board of Health.
Oh.
And water. Water was a big issue. And so then I started bugging Representative Gillette and Congressman Gosar. And they're just very, very helpful. But eventually I bugged Gillette to the point where I got down to the House and I was in his office and having a conversation with him. And he just said, you know, I think that you should run for the seat. And I said, no. yeah, I said, no, no, thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you. And then actually he contacted my pastor, Pastor Roy. And then I started getting phone calls from Representative Gillette and Pastor Roy. And they both were just saying, yes, you need to do it. I said, no, I don't want to. And I sat on it, prayed about it, thought about it. And then after about 3 months, I said, you know what? I think there's a lot of changes that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll do it. You know, I think that I'm up for the challenge and I do want to make a difference, especially for LD 30.
How would you prioritize state spending if you were in the legislature? For example, with regard to education, law enforcement, infrastructure, the State Lake Improvement Fund, those sorts of things. How would you prioritize spending?
Number one is safety. So our law enforcement, they come number one. We need to make sure that DPS and our law enforcement has the appropriate funding. Our infrastructure is probably about 20 years behind the ball. So that would be my secondary priority. And then, of course, me being not only a mom but a teacher as well, then I would say education. We know, and then I'm just going to add one, it's not that it's number four, but of course all the fraud that's happening within the Arizona Medicaid, me being credentialed as a provider with Medicaid, we definitely need to find out where the fraud is.
So you're very familiar with access?
Yes.
Okay. What about the state's, foster care program?
Yep. So
is there problems there too?
I'm sure. You know, we essentially need to doge every department. Mm-hmm. I'm not for just for putting it out there so that everybody is aware, but I'm not for increasing the Arizona general budget. I feel as though, you know, the public has good reason to have mistrust in the government, and if anything, we need to find out and lower our spending until the government can regain the public trust and make sure that appropriate tax dollars are being spent fairly and justly.
How do you feel about zero-based budgeting?
You know, I know that for Mojave County specifically, that they have tried to implement the idea of zero-based budgeting, and I think that would be a good start. But for now, I wouldn't say that, yes, we need to go all in for zero-based budgeting.
So where do you feel Mojave County is lacking where the state can help fill that gap? You know, a lot of Republicans don't see government as coming in and, you know, saving the day, but there are certain cases. How would you, as a freshman lawmaker, address that issue, well, whatever issue you think that is, that where the state can help?
Well, so like going back to infrastructure, you know, we need to make sure ADOT, I mean, I travel a lot between, let's talk about the roads.
Yes.
I-40 and, that road between Kingman all the way down to Wickenburg.
Yep.
It's atrocious. And so being, you know, as you said, a freshman lawmaker, but establishing the relationships with ADOT and then, with our roads as well, and making sure that we focus on I-40 and the roads surrounding LD-30 as well. There's too many potholes. I know my vehicles have suffered almost near tire explosions because of how bad they are.
Wow. How are you at working as a team? A lot of people call the LD-30, you know, the senator and the two reps, a legislative team, no matter what background they've come from. We've had so-so, you know, I've seen where one was kind of a cast-off. And everybody knows who I'm talking about, whereas we had another team that was just phenomenal, right? How do you work as a team? How do you work with those people that may not agree with you during the campaign?
I mean, putting my campaign beliefs aside, I work as a team. I'm a provider, so working in the emergency department, I work with teammates, and regardless of whether we get along personally, you still have to have a professional and civil dynamic. And I actually think for the most part, all the candidates for LD-30, we all want what's best for our district. So I really don't see how we would, you know, be able to not overcome those,
sure,
whatever it may be. So I think that overall we have to work as a team, and I work as a team all the time. That's my essential role. I have like typically a lead role in running whatever it may be in the emergency department, and I have full faith that would transfer over to being a legislator.
I got you. Like, no offense to the current trio, but I feel that Regina, Sonny, and Leo were just, I mean, that was, you know, the tripod right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, absolutely. And I would definitely want to model after that type of dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very possible. We're all, you know, professional and good, hardworking people, and I think it's definitely achievable.
Let's talk about water,
yes,
especially Colorado River water, and the renegotiation of the Colorado River Compact. That may be the biggest issue that impacts Arizona for the next 100 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, the current one was negotiated in what,
1932? Yeah.
I think Harry Reid was in on that original negotiation. Anyway, what can you offer that would help Arizona in water negotiations?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm primarily healthcare and then education. But from my understanding of what's happening with the water appropriations is that us being in Arizona and part of the lower basins, we are getting put back on the back burners. And we really need to, considering the fact that the Colorado River supplies more than 75% of the usage of it, we really need to advocate and ensure that California is not taking advantage of us, Mexico is not taking advantage of us, and just making sure we stand strong and fight for Arizona water.
So by that same token, the upper basin states have they're said to be 92%, you know, capacity, whereas Lake Mead is at 25% right now.
Right.
Lake Powell's at 33, I believe.
Yes.
There's got to be a way to even that out. I mean, I would think the Bureau of Reclamation has a big part in that.
Oh, absolutely. I think they just, and I was actually reading it on the way down, you know, that they have these strategies and ideas. But we really need to negotiate with Utah, Nevada, California, and ensure that Arizona, that once again, that we're not getting put on a lower back burner.
I got you. Are Arizona's immigration laws strong enough, and do you feel that law enforcement officers in Arizona and its 15 counties, do you feel they have what they need to fight illegal immigration?
No, absolutely not. We've got Governor Hobbs, and we've got Arizona Attorney General Mays, so that alone is our biggest obstacle. And then we have, you know, Senator Mark Kelly, so no, I would say absolutely no, we do not. We don't have the leadership, we don't have the support, and even if the laws are in place, we don't have an attorney general who's going to enforce them, so they all need to go.
Well, you've got Ruben Gallego also.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, of course.
I think Adelita Grijalva may be the person who's the biggest danger to, you know, what do you call it? Legal immigration.
Yes.
I don't know. I just have a really bad feeling about certain politicians and taking their side on the left. That's just my opinion. Okay, affordability. You've heard that word, especially in this campaign season, right?
Yes.
It's the current political buzzword of the campaign. What does affordable mean to you?
Well, you know, so I'm not going to give my exact age. I mean, you can find it. It's all, I'm sure, public information.
I'm good.
I'm under 40, but we all know that the average home buyer now, thank God, I was fortunate and lucky enough to get my home in my late 20s. But affordability, it's meaning that can the first-time entry home buyer afford a home? And the answer in Arizona, it used to be 5 years ago, I would say yes. Now I would say absolutely not. And so affordability would just mean that, you know, a family, a standard nuclear family of hypothetically three or four, could afford a home and afford to stay and live there. But I would say no, Arizona is not in that state.
How do you feel about state lands and state parks and state lands? We have an issue here locally with state parks, but state lands, there seems to have been a lot of auctions, a lot of land sales, especially the past 4 years. Under Governor Hobbs.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that from the federal government, when I was on the Public Lands and Recreation Committee, I think that the feds are still holding on to a lot of land, and I think that they should actually release more, specifically to Arizona. I can't talk about other states.
Okay.
I don't know much about what they have. I would imagine Nevada has a lot, but specifically for Arizona, I think the feds need BLM, and they need to release more land so that more people can build and buy and live.
What about those lands that are on, say, where Biden made national monument designations, that, you know, up in the northern parts of Mojave County where there are vast deposits of uranium,
yeah.
Right? And it was like Congressman Gosar was saying, that could be revenue for
right.
the county, selling that uranium where it's needed in the energy industries. How do you feel? Is that something we can unlock or not?
You know, and I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm well versed in that, but I think that I would reach out to Congressman Gosar and just, I would have to ask what's the status and what's going on. Are they owned by public? Are they federal lands? And kind of go from there.
So I want to talk about housing.
Yes.
Short-term rentals in that. How can the state improve housing inventory to help drive costs down? Should developers be given special tax exemptions? What legislation would you support if you were elected?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to prevent all these foreign massive conglomerate corporations from purchasing all these houses and then essentially pushing out individual home buyers. So that's the first thing that needs to happen. I support what President Trump says, and he's saying, you know, hey, we need to stop all these corporations, just like Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. Same principle. We need to lower the prescription drug costs and essentially all these major conglomerates from buying us out.
I like to say that I'm not Republican enough. You know, because I'll talk to a Republican. I'm about 80% where they're at. You know, I'm not complete MAGA, but a little bit of a social conservative. That where do you put yourself on that? If you want to say, this is an optional question.
I mean,
are you a MAGA conservative?
I'd say I'm a MAHA conservative.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I'm a MAHA conservative.
Make America healthy again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as you know, being labeled as the Republican, I mean, I guess I would ask, you know, how do you define a MAGA Republican? But I'm all for President Trump, and I think that, I would say 90% of his issues, there's very few things that I disagree with him. Yeah, so I would say, yeah, I'm a MAGA Republican.
Okay, I'm going to go into public health now.
Okay.
You're going to love this. How much power should the director of the state's Department of Public Health have during a public health emergency?
Oh, see, I think that should be controlled by locals. I don't think they should have any power. I think it's up to each of the 15 counties and keep it at a local level.
Okay.
I would just say keep Big Brother out of it.
All right. A closing statement. Would you like to give a closing statement of who Caroline Strecker is, what she stands for, and why she's running for Legislative District 30 representative?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this. This is the first time I'll share this. I'll take advantage of the opportunity. But the same thing, you know, why would I tell voters why should they vote for me? They're not after me. They're after you. I'm stealing it from President Trump. But really, I have... a wide vast of knowledge and experience, and I'm the baby on the slate. I'm the youngest one, but I have a vast amount of extensive knowledge between healthcare, education, being a mom, and I've actually been reached out by the Department of Health and Human Services, so the White House has reached out to me, and so I think these qualifications put me in a unique spot in that I could help LD30 in those.
Tell me about your family.
Well, so my dad was a doctor here in the local tri-state area for over 30 years. Yeah, so he helped serve Parker. I know Blythe is part of California, but he helped at Needles and worked in Fort Mojave and Parker for over 30 years. My mom's a nurse. She's working here and up in Vegas, and so I'm the byproduct of both.
Does the schedule of going down to Phoenix, coming back, going down, coming back, does that present any problems whatsoever?
No, I mean, like I said, I do have family and friends in Phoenix, and they're very hopeful and excited for me going down there. Do I necessarily want to be in Phoenix all the time? No, I want to stay in Mojave.
All right, perfect. Well, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And what city do you live in now?
Fort Mojave.
Fort Mojave. For some reason, I thought you lived in Golden Valley.
No.
I don't know why.
Nope.
So, okay, Fort Mojave. Perfect. So that's home of Valley View Medical Center?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
So Caroline Strecker, our guest, she's a candidate for Legislative District 30 State Rep, and good luck in the coming election.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I know I'll be on election night. It's like a foregone conclusion. So if I can reach you by phone, I'd like to get your phone number.
Yeah, of course.
After the show, and then we could interview you, you know, during on election night.
Perfect.
Especially if you're up in the top two, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Paul.
All right. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. I'll have a final shot when I come back.
You don't know what it means to...
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.